Livid Executive Committee met and discussed House Bill 436. After review and discussion, a motion was made to support House Bill 436 in its present form and its entirety. The motion was passed unanimously. I'd like to make an additional comment. The Alaska Native Brotherhood on Camp 2 reserves the right to change its support if there are any changes or amendments on House Bill 436 beyond April 4th, 1990.
Thank you. Any other comments you'd like to make to me, sir?
No, thank you.
Other questions for Mr. Adams? We very much appreciate you bringing this up to the AMB, and we appreciate it there.
We appreciate the opportunity to participate.
You bet. The final witness is Wallace Olson. Dr. Olson, and is there anyone else who wants to testify on 436? Welcome.
Yeah, my name is Wallace Olson. I teach at the university, but I cannot represent the university. I'm representing myself. I just have a couple of things. I'd like to back up what Bill Workman was saying. For example, we have right here in Southeastern three sites that are possibly 10,000 years old. We don't have any human remains at this point. We don't even know if those are Eskimos, Indians, you know, who they are. And if we were to encounter human remains, it would be very nice to have a lot of time to study these before we immediately reinter them. I mean, this is a major question. And so for that kind of thing, and do they even belong, or do they even have any descendants here? That's his point, isn't it? Their descendants may be in South America by now, for all we don't know who these people are. So we should draw some kind of a line somewhere at X hundreds or thousands of years ago or something that says very ancient remains, you know, for scientific, or primary consideration to be for scientific study. I mean, my only real concern is, and Bruce Cato just brought this up, under section, well, I can tell you it's on page 7, section, whatever it is, D, anyway, where it says that a descendant or tribe may not be allowed to have access until the tribe's plan for disposition of the remains or objects has been submitted to the department. It doesn't really say too much about approval by the department. What I'm concerned about is this, and this has nothing to do really as anthropologists or natives. It's, I think when people leave remains at a funeral site, they are in a way sacred. And they're intended for that purpose. That's why they should not be disturbed. But after these artifacts have been in museums, we must remember these artifacts are sometimes worth thousands and thousands of dollars on the open market. And if they are returned to the tribe or anyone else, somewhere in that planet, how will these things be preserved and cared for in a sacred trust as far as not being sold on the open market, be kept for tribal use or preserved? And I would also like to see that these objects might be held by, if the state museum or university museum has such objects, funerary objects, held in custody or trust until the native groups have a museum or some safe place to keep these valuable funerary artifacts. You would know as well as I do, if we were to take them back and put them on the grave, they'd be gone tomorrow and they'd be on the market next week. So we can't just take these objects once they've been removed and simply put them back on the grave. They're much too valuable for that and they would be gone. So I'd like to see some way that they would be kept in a sacred trust. Yes?
You know, you're bringing up an interesting dilemma, I suppose, you know, I'm sure that most tribes would want that, but maybe a tribe doesn't. Maybe a tribe wants to sell them. You know, and is it really for us to tell them don't sell those? I mean, it seems like a crime or it seems like a shame, but if a tribe decides for whatever reason they want to sell these objects, is it really for us to tell them they can't do that?
All I can reason is this way. The tribe living today didn't place those objects there. Their ancestors placed them there. We can't read the minds of the ancestors, but we can assume the intent was that they were left in a sacred trust not to be sold. I mean, we don't know the intent of the person who left them. All the living members of the tribe today did not leave them there. Some of their ancestors did. And we can only assume the general practice amongst human beings is when you leave a funerary object, it is considered sacred, not for the open market or to be sold.
I don't disagree with what you're saying. And I probably, most people would not disagree with you, but there may be some that don't.
Yeah. I mean, I know there are people like to get hold of these and sell them, but I think that whoever put them there, this is kind of a general human practice, put them there with the sacred trust. And that's what we should be respecting. All that kind of underlies this whole bill, I think.
Further questions for Dr. Olson?
No.
Not. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else here in the audience today who'd like to testify today on House Bill 436? If not, the bill will be back up on the calendar next week. I forget exactly what day we have it scheduled, but it will be published. And we'd like to thank you. That will conclude our public testimony today on House Bill 436. And for House Bill 416 next, we have Ms. Endorfs, both Ms. Endorfs. And we have your letter, and we appreciate your letter. And is there anything else that you need to say besides your letter?
Other than we'd like to see this passed out as soon as possible.
We appreciate that. Is that anything else you need to add?
Well, I was just wanting to make sure that you guys really, us kids really need the legislators' help to pass this so that our, when we grow up, we don't have as much smoking problems as your generation does.
And you're Miss Hannah Endorf.
Yes.
Okay, and your mother is Miss Amelia Endorf.
Right.
Mrs. We don't know whether people would say Ms. these days or Mrs. Thank you, Anna, very much. Questions for Anna? If not, thank you so much.
I have a question, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Davidson.
Yeah, Anna, Ms. Endor, what grade are you in?
I'm in eighth grade.
And is the smoking a big problem in your school?
Yes, it is.
At the eighth grade level?
Eighth grade, seventh grade, and sixth grade.
What percentage of the children at your school do you think have smoked or are currently involved with smoking habits?
About like 75%.
I think we're going to have another expert witness along. Maybe we can have a little panel here. Why don't you come up too? Join Anna. Just bring a chair up and sit over here. Anybody else who's in the audience who'd like to come up? Okay.
Just here to support
him. Okay. What is your name?
I'm Christina House.
Okay. Ms. House and Ms. Endorf. Now, you were going to say something. What were you going to say?
There are lots of smokers at our school. More than 75% smoke at our school.
Like regularly?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where do they buy their cigarettes?
A lot of times, they come up from Austin. Those machines all over the place, even if it's supposed to be illegal, aren't really.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, take them from their parents or anything. Have people go in and buy them in the stores.
Yeah. You think,
Representative Davis?
Well, you think that they are, these young children are, you know, I don't know how long, many cigarettes you have to take to get addicted to nicotine, but do you think they're already addicted to nicotine, some of these students?
Yeah,
definitely. And
that's Ms. Endorf is answering first. We need to keep this straight for our reporter, Ms. Sheridan, who's sitting in the back. Ms. Andor.
Yes, because nicotine is a very highly addictive. It's like, if they try one, they don't like it, they can probably have enough willpower to not do it again. But usually there's a lot of peer pressure that if you do one, you get to do more and more, and there's a lot of stereotyping going on. Says, you did one, keep on going. And usually that's what happens.
Well, we really, I think I speak for the whole committee, really appreciate you students and your mothers bringing you here today, because we need to hear from people like you. It kind of inspires us when students like you take the initiative to come and talk to us. There's no smokers that sit at this table, but we went through a long battle ourselves just to stop smoking in our committee room, because the addicted ones, the ones that smoke cigarettes, they thought it was their right to smoke in front of us. really good that you students came today. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple of questions for you, and maybe first a comment. I'm one of the few who are against requiring people not to smoke because I feel people have a right as well as respect or consideration, but that's another discussion. My question to you ladies, one is why or how did a lot of your peers who smoke, and apparently it's quite a number, it's 75 or 80%, how did they get started in this smoking habit? What would you attribute their starting?
Probably mostly peer pressure, people around them, parents smoking, just people around them, I think.
And then, Mr. Chairman, if I may,
yes, go right ahead. And Ms. and Representative Davis too.
In your school, is there, in your health classes, is there any organized effort by the school system or your school to discourage smoking?
Well, we don't have a health class in eighth grade. You get it when you get into high school. But right now, the teachers don't encourage it, but if you walk into the teacher's lounge, you can see there is, they do smoke, and they do go off, some of them go off grounds smoke during lunch hour when we're not.
You're talking about teachers?
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about children. Okay. Is there anything in the school program?
No.
You've had nothing in your schooling up to this point, mm-hmm, that tells you that even discourages tobacco smoking?
Not about cigarettes. We've had like alcohol and marijuana stuff, but none of them really target cigarettes. And that's mainly the adults don't say, oh, go ahead. They think, oh, go ahead, and the kids just...
You're saying that adults, they go ahead and
smoke?
Well,
they don't say it out front, but I mean, they don't say, no, it's bad for you or anything. And mainly, it's just that if the parents don't take, the adults don't take their target of the... say, no, it's not good for you, don't smoke. They just say, oh, they should know this stuff by now. But we haven't had anything about it until we get into ninth grade.
Just one last question, Mr. Chairman.
Sure.
What do you young ladies feel society should be doing to discourage smoking among adults?
Go ahead.
I'm not exactly sure. I haven't really thought about that one.
We should at least give public notice. I mean, like, do like a big campaign that tell them that it's not good for your health. I mean, that, like, the Lung Association has the TV ads and stuff. But then, like, I saw one first. There was a Lung Association against smoking, and then you got a nice cigarette ad right after it, and so. At least, like, limit, get more of the advertisement out for against cigarettes, so we could like counteract what the companies are saying.
I guess just a closing comment, sure. Mr. Chairman, I appreciate you letting me go on here. Like,
whatever you want. It's fine. The floor is yours.
I guess I'm surprised and kind of discouraged that. Already in the eighth grade, you haven't had exposure as to why tobacco smoking is bad for you and how it does, in fact, affect your health. I appreciate your comment.
Okay. Representative Sherry Davis, did you wish to ask me?
No, Mr. Chairman, just to thank the girls. I really do appreciate your support on this.
Representative Mike Davis.
Well, just a couple of things. We've got Representative Boyer, who's office is just right outside the door, has introduced a piece of legislation, House Bill 325, I believe it is, which is a kind of a health curriculum so that more than just certain grades would get those kinds of information about different kinds of drugs, including tobacco. And I don't know if you students have ever heard the story of how America started smoking, but America didn't didn't have hardly anybody smoking cigarettes. They all smoked a pipe until the First World War. And the American Tobacco Company, or whatever the company was, they put C rations, which was given to every soldier. They gave them all free cigarettes. And that's how America got addicted to nicotine for the first time. So we've had lung cancer, pretty high significant rate of lung cancer since 20 years since that happened. But again,
I would like you, if you wouldn't mind, to sign up on this sheet since you have it. Any other questions for our panel? If not, thank you very much. Is there anyone else here?
Can I make one comment, Max,
real quick,
for the record? My name's Amelia Endorf, and I'm Anna's mother. But the ninth grade, we had our older daughter, and has an older sister, go through the ninth grade health curriculum here in Juneau. And for the record, it did not cover cigarettes either.
Thank you.
Totally lacking from the curriculum. So, you know, again, the number one killers of our kids, cold water safety, a lot of cigarette problems, these types of things are not being addressed by our schools in Alaska, and they do need to be addressed.
Thank you very much. I'm afraid we're not going to get to the other witnesses today. It's 3:30, we're a half hour past, and I have to testify on other legislation. But the next time this comes back, sir, we will take you first. You'd like to testify or written comments, I really do apologize. I try to get to you. Mr. Leiby, I do want to hear from you. I know Mr. Parker from the Department of Corrections. Do either of our two young people have anything they want to say? I'd like to take the young people.
Okay, well, you asked...
What is your name?
David Endorf.
Hey, David.
Okay, well, you asked those two why people started smoking cigarettes. But another reason is that they're real easy to get, because there are places at our school where you can just walk into and they'll give you cigarettes.
Okay, and let me just ask you, what schools do you go to?
You mean businesses? So you want legislation where...
No, he's talking about school.
And they'll give you cigarettes in the school?
Yeah, they're like...
Okay, I'm afraid we're going to have to adjourn the meeting now. Unless you want to, we have the vice chair here. Do you want to finish?
Well, if somebody really needs to talk, I'll listen.
Okay, well, would you like to? Then Representative Davis is the vice chair of the committee, and I'm afraid I have to go testify. But let's continue. Thank you.
Go ahead.
My name is Andy Hall. I'm pastor of Lighthouse Baptist Church here in town, and I'm fairly new here in town, been here about 18 months. We homeschool our children. And we're members of the homeschool, Juneau Homeschool Education Association. And in one of the things we have in our Juneau Home Educators Association is a program where we take them down to the public public pool down here to have swimming lessons. And that's during on Tuesday mornings. And we're there between classes. And the number of students there going between classes that are smoking is appalling. 75%, I would say, is a low estimate. If you want an eye-opener, see how many children in your public schools, high school, are smoking, go down there between classes sometime and see. There are adults walking around. There are police officers there, I guess, monitoring the school situation that are there on a regular basis. But those kids will walk right off the school grounds, walk right across the street and smoke, or they'll do it right there on the school grounds that are the Gus and Brown swimming pool. And they have classes in there as well. And so it is a problem, and it's a problem we need to address. I realize a lot of people, I know you're not smokers, but just for the record, there are a lot of people that say we don't need to shelter our children, but they're just like tender young plants. They need to be raised in a hothouse environment. And just like we wouldn't give them alcohol, we don't give them by law. We don't allow them to buy or possess alcohol. They ought not to be allowed to buy or possess drugs or tobacco, which has a drug within it, nicotine. And for what you were saying is the start of the cigarette smoking, I'm very well aware of it. I was born and raised in Richmond, Virginia. which is one of the tobacco capitals of this country. And I would much rather see them burn the tobacco and plant it in corn or something for worldwide hunger than to continue to raise a crop like tobacco, which depletes the soil year after year after year. And it's like I said before, if you want an eye-opener, go down to the school. Kids, small children are walking around smoking cigarettes. Kids that aren't even, well, as David said, aren't, some of them aren't even in the middle school yet.
Well, there was a story on NPR recently about, I don't know, it was Raleigh, one of those places right in the middle of the tobacco country, which is talking about no smoking sections in restaurants, which don't help that much, but this is sort of right in the heart of the tobacco country. They're starting to have no smoking sections, but you know, in Fairbanks, the Fairbanks school board ruled that no smoking on any school grounds, and it's something that maybe you students might want to take up, and it wouldn't hurt you students. Can speak real well. Wouldn't hurt for you students maybe to go talk to the school board about a proposal like that, where you just have a ban of all smoking by everyone on school grounds.
Could I just interject something there? Here at the high school, and they have a problem down there too, because the city street is right there. They all they have to do is walk across the street and they're off the school grounds. If it could be something like no smoking during school time, I think it'd be more effective, because these kids, they walk right across the street, right across Glacier Avenue down there where the high school is, and they'll smoke right across the street. They'll be off the school grounds that way.
This legislation will take care of that. I'm saying is that you won't have a situation where, it sounds like some of your students have, where you have your teachers go to the teacher's lounge and smoke and things like that. Mm-hmm. There's no smoking, and I think it really points out, makes people start to be aware that they're addicted to a drug if they can't go 8 hours without using it. But anyway, you might, some student, just an idea, you might want to bring that up with the school board. But, and I think this legislation would, if somebody's across the street smoking cigarettes, they'd be against it.
It'd be a violation of law.
Anybody else?
I have a guest who wanted to tell you about one incident at school.
Okay. Go ahead. Why don't you go ahead and you don't have to, but you should state the name. Talk to that microphone right there. Go ahead.
Well, my name is Jay Hall. I'm a son of my dad's professor here. And down there at the school, after the snowmelt, at the high school, after the snowmelt melts, the in between the parking lot and sidewalk at the swimming pool, the place is just littered with cigarettes all over. Can't take one step without walking, without stepping on one.
Well, I'm glad you all came today, and I'm gonna call the principal of the high school and tell him that we have some good witnesses today talking about the problem there. So thank you very much. If there's no other people to come before the committee today, thank you all for coming to meet.